Let's show God we appreciate him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, I see no reason why we shouldn't continue in worship. Amen. I see no reason why we shouldn't continue in the things of God. We want God when we give a hand clap. Do it at home. I do it at home all the time. When we give God a hand clap, we're making a joyful noise. Amen. When we give God a hand clap, we want him to know we appreciate all that he's done. Amen. When we give God a hand clap, we want to bring God his just due, and we want his attention. Amen. We want God's attention every day, all day. Amen. We need God 24 hours in a day, because while we sleep, we don't know what's happening around us, do we? Amen. You don't know what's going on. You don't know how late the kids have stayed up. You don't know who done snuck in the refrigerator. You don't know nothing. But our faith in God allows us to rest in the Lord. Amen. It talks about that in Hebrews. He wants to bring us into his rest. Amen. You know, that's literally, spiritually, physically, mentally, bring us into his rest. Amen. That has eternal connotation. Amen. Because one day we will be resting with God. Amen. The ultimate rest. But rest is a part of worship too. Amen. It's trust. Because worship, as Pastor has been preaching about the last three Sundays, worship is an act of faith. Worship is a reflection of what we want God to know. That's in our hearts. Amen. Worship is something that we want to give God in return for what he's done. Amen. Because what can you offer God? You cannot repay God. Amen. But you can give him worship. But you can give him praise. You can open up your heart. Amen. And you can pray. Sometimes we actually, we have to pray that God brings us into worship. We got to pray about everything, amen. Why not? Why not go to he who has everything, amen? He got worship in his hands, amen. He got praise in his hands, amen. God gives you what he wants you to give him, amen. He supplies it for you, everything you need for life and godliness. Well, with that, good morning. I just, yeah, you know, right? Praise the Lord. Before I start talking about my suit, first I want to give honor to God, amen, who is the head of my life. To our pastor, Jerry Hatfield, and his wife, Sister Bonnie, our first lady. To my wife, who is my first lady, amen, who has been a blessing in our home and in the ministry that God has invested in us. Amen. And to the household of faith. And to the followers of Jesus. To our visitors, welcome. We're glad to have you this morning. Amen. It's not by accident that the numbers look a little large this morning. Amen. God is busy, and that's what we want. God, you know, the songwriter says, God is on the move. God is on the move. And guess what? I'm going to tell you another thing God told me, and I've said this before, but God is bringing men back into the church. Amen. I see a lot of muscle around this place this morning. Amen. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But again, we're giving God the praise, amen. He's bringing men back into the church. God's got a ministry in the men as well as the women. But God has a plan for the men. It might have looked like it went off. It might have looked like it went astray. It might have looked like it kind of it was in defeat. But God was at work even then, amen. So he put women in the place of ministry to hold things up until we got our minds together and got on the right track. Amen. Sometimes we got to give us guys a little time. Amen. Women might get it first a little earlier than we do. Just give us a little time. We'll come around. Amen. Who knows? You know, I don't know what's going on, but I thank God for his grace and his mercy. That he was been patient with us, been patient with men, been patient with all of us. And as for my suit, well, you know, this is from God, okay? Again, someone was obedient. And I've even acquired a couple more suits because of the obedience of just some wonderful people that serve the Lord. Amen. You know that service when you give something? It was on your heart, but that's service. Amen. You being obedient. Amen. That's why these people who have given me these suits are so blessed. Amen. When God gives you something, it's you're really a conduit. When God gives you something, you're just this thing that helps pass things along. Amen. When God's put his word in you, it's so you can pass it along. Amen. When God gives you that heart, that good heart, that good spirit, it's so, guess what? You can pass it along. Amen. When God puts his love down in you, it's so you can pass it along. Love one another, as Apostle Paul says, all through the New Testament, all through his epistles, love one another. And I thank God that this is a loving church. Amen. Today, this word that has been just looming, and it was a word that was kind of conducive for a day such as this, when we take the Lord's Supper, amen. When we talk about the bread, which is Jesus, represents Jesus' body, and the wine, which represents his blood. And the topic that God gave me, I hope it blesses you the way it's blessed me, it's called the good wine. Amen. And we'll go into our text and find out, what did God mean by the good wine? Amen. You know it's something good, don't you? You know it's something that tastes good, don't you? You know it's something that's going to make you feel good when it's over, don't you? We love God. Amen. It's good to see Sister Christy. Good to see Sister Cheryl. People who have taken of the good wine, amen. The healing, Brother Breeding, Sister Dahlia, Brother Clint, they just taking of the good wine. Larry and Mary Lynn, taking of the good wine, giving their hearts. Brother Raul, giving their hearts to God. They partook of the supper. They sit at the table of God, amen. And when this is over, I've got to do something that God has been telling me to do all week. Before we dismiss, we're going to actually walk past the table of God. On this side, as you come by the table, you're going to leave all your issues, all your sickness, all your the things that have so easily beset you, things that might have happened this week, whatever. How you feel about your neighbor, how you want to punch your boss in the face. All that stuff is going to be left right here as you pass by the table of God. So let's open up with a word of prayer and let God navigate his Holy Ghost, amen, and his wisdom. So Father God, we come in the name of Jesus this morning, giving you honor. We give God praise. We give God glory. We worship the Lord. Hallelujah. We worship God in our hearts. We worship God in our communities. We worship God in the kingdom. We are part of the kingdom of God. That is a gift from God. And we thank you for it, Lord. We can't thank you enough. We can't thank you with 10,000 tongues. But, Lord, I just ask in Jesus' name that your word this morning, Lord God, would permeate our hearts, would resonate in the pits of our souls, God, and that it would bring God glory, honor, and praise on how receptive we are to your spirit and to your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. The good wine. I give God the glory and I give God the praise. this morning for giving us the Savior, the Christ. We are truly blessed because we are the chosen of His children. Amen. And we are blessed of God because oftentimes God and our Lord and Savior would use metaphors and parables in His word that only the followers of Jesus would understand. Like it says in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. Then His disciples asked Him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" Verse 10. And He said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand." Thank you, Sister Betty. And this was by design. The Lord Jesus, on occasion, speaks to His followers, His sheep, words and concepts that only we understand, and the world won't be able to snatch it from us. Amen. He intentionally blinds those who are enemies of the gospel. There are times when God doesn't want His word debated. Amen. This is the way it is, and that's all. That's it. That's all. Amen. Quit debating, and going so deep into the word. Next thing you know, you see contradictions. Next thing you know, you done fell off. Amen. Let the simplicity of the Holy Ghost teach you. Amen. Jesus is not going to waste His word on people who want to contradict His word and despises the God of our fathers. Those that don't want to partake of what the Lord has titled the good wine. The good wine is something God dropped on my spirit one day, and I was truly blessed. The good wine is symbolic of the blood of Christ, what we partook of today. The good wine is Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, the Bible says all good things come from above. But it also says Jesus is our all in all. Amen. He's everything you need Him to be but evil. Amen. He's everything what you need Him to be but merciless. Amen. Or reckless or disorganized. He's not those kinds of things. He's orderly, He's merciful, He's loving, He's great. He's our Messiah, our Deliverer, our Savior, the Holy Comforter, our Potentate. Amen. I love that word, Potentate. Makes me sound smart, you know. Potentate. Potentate, you know. That is a superior being, amen. We worship a superior being, amen. You know, me and my wife, we talk about what differentiates Jesus being a king as a king, as opposed to the kings that's in Britain or all these other countries or what you see on television. Here's the difference that the Lord told me, the difference between the King Jesus and other kings. Jesus came to serve. Other kings want to be served. You get that? Jesus is about the people. Amen. Other kings have the people being about the king. That's why they in disarray. Amen. That's why the kingdoms fall. Amen. That's why they'll never be blessed. Amen. But when we make it about Jesus, then He make it about us. Then we get blessed. Amen. That's why we're going to steal some blessing. Amen. That's right. It's set for us anyway. Amen. Don't take the word steal literally when I said that. Don't steal nothing, okay? But we got to protect. We got to ask God to protect His word inside of us, amen? Because the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. Not just your body, but the word that's in you, amen? The faith that's in you, amen? Your heart that goes out for God. He wants that. He wants to steal that intent. The goodness that's in your heart, the intent, He wants to take that and kill it. Amen. And then have people looking at you like you're some type of evil person. Amen. No, you're a child of God. Anything evil in you is being eliminated. Amen. Children of God submit their hearts to the Lord. Amen. Because they want to be cleaned up. Amen. Pastor kind of hit on a little bit earlier in prayer, and it made me think about, you know, wash me that I might be clean. Cleanse me that I might be whiter than snow. Amen. It's possible. It's possible in God. Amen. Because Jesus said there's nothing impossible for God. So if you want to be cleaned up, you want to be washed up, you want to look like, you know, walk around looking like you're whiter than snow. It's in your speech. Amen. It's in your benevolence, in your community. Amen. It's how you give. Amen. It's how you receive things. It's how calm your spirit is. Amen. It's how slow you are to wrath. It's how slow you are to anger. And it's how quickly you are to listen. That's how you become whiter than snow. When you have the attitude of Christ. Amen. It's Him that's looking clean in you. Amen. That's what He wants to do. It's Him that's looking cleaner than the dirt on your flesh. Amen. The flesh is no. I'm sorry, people. I know you think you're some hot looking guys and some cutie pies or whatever, but your flesh is dirty. Amen. When you act in the flesh, you look ugly. Amen. When you're abusively talking to your loved ones and your spouses, whatever, I don't care how fine of apparel you got on. I don't care what kind of suit you got or whatever. I mean, I thank you, Lord, for the suit. But I don't care what kind of, how you carry yourself and how religious you look. But your tone and your attitude and your behavior pattern makes you look just like dirt. Amen. Who wants to look like dirt? I want to look like, I don't know, whiter than snow. I want to look cleaned up. I want people who used to see me when I was looking dirty. I want them to see what God is doing. Amen. I want them to see where God has brought me from. Amen. I want them to see me step over the threshold from darkness to light. Amen. From dirt to clean. Amen. From bad to good. Amen. It's only two ways you can go in this life. I'm sorry, there is no in between. Amen. I tried it. Amen. I tried to have both ones, you know. It didn't work. It was very painful. Amen. Can't do it. The good wine is Jesus Christ. And our Father God desires that we take up and partake of the good wine. Because the good wine is the blood of Christ that gives us protection, strength, power, and eternal life. Amen. That's what the good wine brings. The good wine is the blood of Christ that brings us into communion with God. Amen. Communion with God, communion with the Son, and communion with the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what the good wine brings us into. As it states in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Thank you. And this is only one of many passages of scripture that mentions the blood of Christ and its power. Now, wine, we believe, was the liquid that was used exemplifying the blood of Jesus. I mean, since the days of old, people have used processed grapes, which is the dominant ingredient in wine, and have now to this day drank it after every meal. However, just in times past, our flesh, which is prone to excessive behavior and susceptible to the lies of the devil, fails to use what God meant for good and use wine in dissipation. How dare the devil have me drinking too much? Amen. I like my wine. Amen. But I just can't have one glass, amen. I just can't take up the little cup in church on Sunday at the communion, amen. I got to have a pint, amen. Dissipation, as the Apostle Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, verses, let's get this. Get this in your spirit. Chapter 5, verses 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, 19, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That's worship. Amen. Now, the word dissipation, according to Google Dictionary, means excess, overconsumption, wildness. Okay, I know we can identify with some of these words, okay? And the Merriam-Webster defines this dissipation like this: the process of slowly disappearing or becoming less. And I believe that the Lord wanted us to pay attention to why he doesn't want us to be drunk with wine. Because in verse 19, it would be almost impossible for us to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs if we're drunk. Amen. If I'm tipsy, I can't do my solo. Amen. If I'm drunk, I can't have a meaningful adult conversation. Amen. Even though when we're drunk, we thought we was. I know what I'm talking about. Do you really? Sorry, Pastor. I'm not drunk. Okay. God just don't want us drunk, because the only songs we'll be singing are secular songs and dancing and partying. You know, we kind of touched on that a little bit in Sunday school. Glenn's doing the Lord's doing a great job, excuse me, with Brother Lynn in Sunday school. We've been talking about, you know, just pagan practices and debauchery and those kinds of things. The only songs we'll be singing are secular songs and dancing and partying. We won't be making melody in our hearts to the Lord, but to the indulgence of Satan when we're drunk. Amen. You can't be drunk and trying to sing to the church on the praise team. Amen. It's just something wrong with that picture. Amen. There's reason to believe you'll be a little bit off key, amen? You know, I am blessed of the love of the Lord. You know, you might even say the wrong word. You just got to watch. Be careful when you want to indulge, or when you're trying to compensate, or when you're trying to compromise with a little glass of wine. It's okay for some people, but some people can't have a glass of wine. Hello? Hallelujah, amen. I thank God this church don't have the little wine in those little cups. I don't care if it's this much. I don't want to smell it. I don't want none of it. I don't want it around me, amen. But I don't judge anybody. But God took me from drunk to sober, amen. And I think I'm going to stay there, amen. I tried to drunk, sober. It don't work, amen. You're a confused individual, amen. That's right, Pastor, amen. God doesn't want us drunk or living that type of lifestyle, because it takes you out of communion with him. Don't think that once upon a time when you can remember when God used a drunk to tell you, God says he loves you, that's the condition that God wants to use you in. Listen, I've had a drunk say something to me before too, okay? And I don't know, I might have been drunk at the time too, okay? And, the guy went, well, God says he loves you. Now look, God might have done that. I mean, it could have been. Because it definitely touches the person who receives it sometimes when they hear God loves you. That's a powerful statement. Even when you're drunk, amen. Don't think just because Jesus told the disciples to drink after supper, you were supposed to do it every day. That was just for communion, amen. That was just for the supper. So we love to, you know, when we're in the world, we love to take the word of God. Well, they drank with Jesus. They drank with Jesus at the supper. We're going to get into that a little later, okay? God only used that drunk at that time because God knew you would listen to that person at that appointed time. You get that? That's why you might see, like, this, you know, you go and tell somebody that their drunk told me God had been watching me and he's praying, you know, that Jesus is praying for me. That was an appointed time. That's when God knew you probably would listen at that time. Amen. But that's not how God's going to use his children, is when they drunk and intoxicated to be of service and minister. Amen. That means Jesus would have been walking around healing people drunk. Amen. If it was okay. But I don't remember nowhere in the Bible where God was high and administering service. Amen. That ain't bringing God glory. God wants to receive glory out of your service. Amen. God's service is pure. Amen. God's ministry is, you know, incomparable. It's unstained. It's immaculate. That supper when they drank at the dinner with Jesus, that was holy, amen. That was sacred. That was a sacred moment, amen. You know, I don't know if anybody might be able to identify with this, but when I was maybe drinking or whatever, I wasn't thinking about God, amen. There wasn't nothing holy about what I was doing, amen. I don't know who this is for, but I'm just saying, we're just encouraging one another. Is it okay for us to encourage one another? Amen. You know, our forefather David was a great king. And God used him to write some spectacular scripture and oracles that came straight from God. Because his heart was in the right place, but his flesh sometimes overrode or prevailed over the heart. Amen. You got good hearts. A lot of us got good hearts. But your free will takes you down a road that you shouldn't be going. Amen. In excess and dissipation. Well, we all had our different broad roads that we travel down, and we pay the consequences. Amen. He meant that the supper, what God was talking about, what Jesus was talking about, he meant the supper at church, which was symbolic of his holy body. That's the wine, that's the drink that they drunk of. And it really, I'm going to show you how it doesn't say in the word that it was wine. Let me continue. He meant the supper at church, which was symbolic of his body. That was only a piece of bread. Today, some people won't have anything but wine after or during their meal. Everybody can't do that. You know your weaknesses. You know your strengths. Your body will tell you, amen. The Lord really doesn't want us doing it because it becomes a habit. And a habit is just a cute word for addiction. Amen. That's why Jesus doesn't explicitly say wine. He says drink of this cup. Amen. And the cup that he drank of before he was put up on the cross was all of our mess and sin and all of our drunkenness. Amen. That's why only Jesus could have died for us. Amen. There's no human being could have did what God did. Amen. Jesus knew that people like me don't need to be sipping wine representing his blood in church. Amen. People like myself don't need to be drinking wine with every meal because we will get a buzz. Amen. And that buzz would turn into a buzz saw. Amen. And this buzz saw will saw into pieces everything that God has developed in you, with you, and blessed you with. Amen. Did you get that? Some of the sin that we find ourselves falling prey to is like a saw. Amen. You get a buzz. It's like a buzz saw. It starts off fun and good. Amen. You get the buzz. Amen. Not just with drinking, but with just your sin, your shortcoming, your iniquity. Starts off as a buzz. It really feels good. It really feels nice. But then it becomes a buzz saw, amen, and starts cutting and eating away at the things that God has placed in your possession. Amen. You look up and you've lost it all. Because it started off with, I had a good time with my buzz. Amen. Whatever it was. It could be adultery. It could be gambling. It could be judgmental. Shopping. That's a good one. That's that creepy one, you know. We really don't think that's a problem, but it can be. The enemy is trying to create a buzz in us of some sort so you can squander all the increase that the Lord has blessed you and your family with. And because of the weakness in our flesh, we can't help ourselves to only one drink of wine. Amen. Which leads to two or maybe three. Why? Well, let's look at Proverbs 23:29, verse 29. And it explains some of it. Who has Proverbs 23:29? Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaints? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Thank you, Ben. If we have some issues going on in our lives, we begin to use our drinking of wine with dinner as a tool for relaxing us and making us feel better. If we're experiencing problems in our home, in our marriages, on our jobs, with our bills, and just not being able to keep up the image and lifestyle that people have been praising us for all the time, amen? Did you get that? We start believing that the wine is somehow making us feel better than to depend on the good wine, amen? You know, the Lord really doesn't like when we choose other means and ways of making us feel better. Amen. We must partake of the good wine. Amen. The good wine. Amen. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the good wine. That's the problem solved. He went through all that he went through at Calvary. He went through all that, those beatings. He went through all that reviling and all those kinds of things to help you shed these issues, to help you alleviate, to somehow bring you to a point where you'll depend on him and you'll discover that there's no other way that I can get beyond my flesh, get beyond my weakness, get beyond my setback, because I've tried it all before, amen. We've all tried to do it our way before. But we must partake of the good wine. Good wine. Amen, Sister Rosie. Amen. I'm just messing with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good sister, Sister Rosie. The good wine, which is Jesus, is our way out of the setback. We have somehow complicated our situation and probably, you know, we found ways to make it worse. Like it says in Proverbs chapter 23, verses 30 through 33. Those who linger long at the wine, those who go in search of mixed wine, 31, do not look on the wine when it is red, when it sparkles in the cup, when it swirls around smoothly. At the last, it bites like a serpent and stings like a viper. Amen. I think all of us might have been stung before. Amen. Your eyes will see strange things. And your heart will utter perverse things. Amen. Thank you, Sister Vivian. This is when we become spiritually discombobulated. It's the truth. We become spiritually discombobulated. Now we put ourselves in an arena of hopelessness and shame. When we walk around misrepresenting God and the gospel of Christ in our drunkenness and dissipation. Feeling as though God can't even use us anymore or won't use us anymore. An area where the enemy can continue to trick us into seeing what he wants us to see.
That's why the devil tries to get you to drink or get you your focus off God, because then he gives us a picture. Amen. We want God's vision. Amen. Because a man without a vision might just perish. Amen. But the vision God was talking about was his vision. Not just your vision, them ideas you got or that you might have had. And look, this don't make you a bad person, but the flesh sees things it wants to see. Amen. It feels things it wants to feel. Amen. It only receives healing, or it only receives a good encouraging word from the people we want to hear from. Amen. Well, sometimes when God gives you a word and tell you, guess what? You know that wasn't right. Guess what? That's that little chastening you get, and you have a little rebuke. Don't rebuke the chastening of the Lord. Amen. God's trying to build us up. Amen. But I'm telling you that you're doing wrong. Amen. So because I love you. Amen. We talked about that this morning, didn't we, Sister Brown? The chastening of God means he loves you. Amen. That's why we must drink of the good wine, because it gives us a reprieve with the Lord God. It gives us the free gift of grace by which we live by, the good wine. So when we do other perverse things and offend our brother, we know we don't have to always be that way. Amen. We don't have to be stuck in that mess, in that attitude, in that bitterness. Amen. We know that in the good wine that change is possible. Amen. And this good wine is available to all who have yokes that need to be broken. Amen. The good wine is a yoke breaker. Amen. The good wine is the anointing that breaks the yoke. Amen. The good wine includes that anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage, to which we find ourselves slaves to. Amen. Now, there is the use of wine for good purposes that God desires for us to use and even drink. Here are a few instances where wine was beneficial and not a means of destruction. And let's look at the book of Jeremiah. Amen. Let's go to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35. You don't want to turn to it, you can. If not, I think I'll go right into the text. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 6. And it says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, saying, Go to the house of the Rechabites, speak to them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them wine to drink. Verse 3, Then I took Jehazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Habazaniah." Yeah, thank you. I kind of practiced it a little bit. "His brothers and all his sons and the whole house of the Rechabites." Verse 4. "And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chambers of the sons of Hanan, the son of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, above the chamber of Maaseiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door." Verse 5. Glory to Jesus. Praise be to God. Thank you. Preparation is everything, believe me. "Then I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites bowls full of wine and cups, and I said to them, Drink wine. Verse 6, But they said, We will drink no wine, for Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, You shall drink no wine, you nor your sons, forever. Now, this was a direct command that God gave to Jeremiah the prophet. He was to bring the sons of the house of the Rechabite to the house of the Lord and to get them to drink the wine. Now, this could sound like God is inviting us, or somehow, to go ahead and invite us to go ahead and drink wine. But that's not the objective here. Because in Jeremiah chapter 35, verses 14 and 15, it says, "The words of Jonadab, the son of Rechab, which he commanded his sons not to drink wine or are performed. For to this day they drink none and obey their father's commandment. But although I have spoken to you, rising early and speaking, you did not obey me. Verse 15, I have also sent to you all my servants, the prophets, rising up early and sending them, saying, turn now everyone from his evil way, amend your doings, and do not go after other gods to serve them. Then you will dwell in the land which I have given you and your fathers. But you have not inclined your ear, nor obeyed me. Amen. Wow. But let's see what God is doing right here. What an amazing example God uses here to bring us to obedience to him. That's what this is about. Amen. It's nothing wrong with a glass of wine at your dinner. But don't let it take you out of communion with God. Amen. Whatever you're doing. You know, I would tell people in Bible class, our Bible class we go to on Thursday nights. Look. Some of the things that we do, some of the things that might be less than perfect or whatever, might not take you to hell. But God is seeking obedience. Amen. If you can continue in what you're doing in your iniquity and still give God full worship from your heart, full praise from your soul, study at home, pray at home, pray at church, make it to church Wednesday night, Thursday, do whatever. If you can do all that and still keep your sin, then you must be God. Because you can't do it, amen. You can't. You can't straddle the fence. You can't be cold. You can't be cold and hot. You can't be warm, amen. Even though it feels good in the winter when we're under the cover, but that's a different kind of warm, amen. You can't be spiritually warm in your walk with God. Because God told me one day when I was straddling the fence, he said, guess what? I say, Lord, thank you. I pray and I do my stuff. I was going to church, all those kinds of things. And then one day God told me, look, your way is not really working. You either with me or you're against me. And I said, I'm not against you, God. I go to church. I love you. Lord, I read my Bible. I do this stuff. I put money in the offering, everything. If you can share your love that God's supposed to have, you can share it with yourself and the world, then you're with the world. You're not with God. Do you get that? There's no such thing as straddling the fence. You either are with him or you're against him. Amen. There's nothing as being in the middle. You're not in the middle. Hope I didn't step on nobody's toes right there, okay? You're not in the middle. I've been there. It hurts. Because the last thing I wanted to be was a hypocrite. Amen. But guess what I was being? A hypocrite. Oh, that's pretty good. I didn't think you was going to get that. Amen. It's not good. You either partake of the good wine and the good wine only. Amen. Leave the other wine alone. I'm just telling you. Amen. God used this example with the Rechabites, the sons of the Rechabites, to bring us to obedience. He uses the faithfulness of the sons of Rechab to drive home one of his pet peeves and one of his heart's desires. Look, it angers God when we continue to disobey the very statutes that would only bring us into a healthy relationship with him and his son. God knew these young men's hearts would be committed to their master's decrees. And at the same time, in the same breath, God shows what he wants us to do so that he can bless us. God wants obedience, not your sacrifice, not your church going that I was doing. When I step on toes, I'm really stepping on mine, amen. So y'all can look at me and go, that's sad, Brother Galwan, just really... I'm so glad I'm not like Brother Alwan. So I'll take that, okay? It angers God when we continue to just disobey. This world, you know, this world offers us some things and things that make us feel good. But sometimes it's not about feeling good. Amen. Jesus didn't feel good when he was hung on the cross and he was looking at our sin. That didn't feel good. That felt terrible. Because he loves us. Amen. So to see us not doing what brings God glory, because that's all he did was brought God glory. And God put us in the hands of Christ. That was our blessing. We squander it sometimes. But thank God we've came around. Amen. God knew these men's hearts would be committed to their master's decrees. And it at the same, well, sorry. God pours out his heart to us to bring us into a life of communion with him. We often find ourselves trying to communicate to our children not to get into a life of drinking and drugging because we're not sure if they'll call on the good wine. That's why we talk to our children about drugs and drinking and alcohol. Because we're not sure if they're going to come out of it, amen? We're not sure if they're going to come out of that mess. So we talk about it, we give them what they call admonishing. It's like it's a warning. We're not sure if they're going to call on the good wine to deliver them from their bad habits. I've heard of stories of when the parent got wind of their kid drinking or smoking, that the parent would say, okay, if you believe this is what you want to do, well, here's all you can drink right here. Here's all you can drink right here. Big old table full of alcohol right here. Here's all you can drink. And you better drink all of it, amen. I don't know if that ever happened to somebody. Like, you better, you know, they caught you, your parents caught you smoking. And then they say, you know what, where's all the cigarettes at? And they went and found the cigarettes. And it was like 10 cigarettes left. And then the parent was like, you better smoke each and every one of them right here. I'm going to stand right here while you smoke. And you're going like, well, I don't chain smoke, mama. I don't chain smoke, dad. But you steady smoking, and next you know you're sick. And the kid would drink so much he would get sick, throwing up and everything, screaming, okay, 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 that's enough. Dad, I don't want to drink or smoke anymore. And our Lord and Savior might not use that particular tactic. He simply uses his word, as he does in Romans chapter 13, verses 13 and 14. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on the good wine, amen. And make no provisions for the flesh to fulfill its lust. Thank you. One act of sin always leads us into more sin, amen. This is for somebody, okay? I mean, but maybe hopefully with vast, hopefully none of us, okay? But I'm doing what God said, amen. When we can't get control of that which is keeping us out of communion with the Lord, it only festers and grows into something worse. We need to take care of our business and God's business in the daytime. The only business we need to be involved in at night is Bible study, men's meetings, ladies' meetings, and revival conferences. Amen. I mean, come on. Let's just keep it Jesus. Amen. Most of our stuff we did it at night. Amen. We was the hardworking guy in the daytime or whatever. But at night, we were a mess, amen. We couldn't wait until we got off work, amen, to go get happy hour. I can't be late for happy hour, amen. Happy hour was in the evening. It didn't make shit, not at all. Not at all. The only business, that's right, the only business we need to be involved in at night is when we're working some night shifts. If we're called to make a living by working some night shifts, it's okay. Because that's what God may have allotted to you at that time to provide for your families. God wants us alert and have good visibility, which is in the daytime. so we can see what's going on around us. Amen. I mean, literally. At night, you're operating in darkness. Amen. Literally. Amen. Figuratively, physically, scientifically, and all that stuff. And you can't see what's going on around you. See, when we're out doing our thing at night, we're operating in darkness. So we can't see, number one, the plan that God has for our lives. Amen. The blessings that God wants to bless us with in our families. Amen. We only can kind of see where our flesh is leading us to. So we kind of navigate through the darkness so we can satisfy our flesh by getting drunk. Amen. Then Jesus can, you know, at night, you're operating in darkness and can't see all that's going on around you. But we need to operate in the day and take care of God's business. Then Jesus can use you and someone for good purposes. Like in Luke chapter 10, verse 33 and 34. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion. 34. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine, and set him on his animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Not anywhere in this text does this say the Samaritan gave the injured man wine to drink to make him feel better. Amen. Did we read that? That he gave him some wine to drink? No. Nor did the Samaritan drink wine to get a buzz so he could stand being in the same company of this man. Amen. Sometimes you got to get drunk so you can be around somebody. Amen. Some dates we went on, we made sure we got drunk. So guess what? I won't see what I'm doing. I can't see you either. That's crazy. That's judgmental, by the way. Sometimes people think they need to be intoxicated to deal with certain people that they know that they're going to see and meet. That's another lie. Just use the good wine, the blood of Christ. Plead the blood of Jesus. You know, like when you're going to a reunion or something, and it's a couple of family members that, guess what? I hope they don't come over to our tent. Amen. Because sometimes, Uncle John, He comes in, he smells bad, amen. And he smells of liquor and those kinds of things. We know he made a stop before he came to reunion, amen. Where he stopped, that's his business, amen. Right? That's crazy. But that's another lie. We don't need to be intoxicated to meet anyone. Just plead the blood of Jesus over your meeting, and it will all work out, amen. God, in this instance with the Samaritan, used wine as an antidote to cure the ills. Amen. The word antidote, according to vocabulary.com, says it this way. An antidote is a remedy that relieves. Jesus is our antidote that remedies our afflictions. Amen. He is the good wine and the antidote and the doctor and the physician. And the caregiver, and the carpenter, and the builder, and the holy priest. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the good wine that has been poured out for our sins. The blood of Jesus repels the poisons we encounter in our daily lives. Amen. The Lord God is our antidote against the wiles of the enemy. God wants to get us to a point of understanding the many good uses of wine that is helpful. Amen. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 23. No longer drink only water, but use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your frequent infirmities. Thank you. God is trying to get us to a place where he can trust us to use wine for his original good. He didn't place wine in our hands for us to become, as we alluded to earlier, discombobulated. Amen. When he placed wine in the situation, It's for good uses. Amen. It's always the cure. Jesus is about healing. Amen. Healing your soul, healing your mind, healing your body. Amen. That's what we took. When we took the bread, guess what? That was healing the body. And you have to believe that by faith. Amen. By faith, when we chewed on the bread, guess what? My body is being healed. And if not my body, my son's body. If not my body, my son's body, my cousin's body. Amen. So just as God used the faithfulness of the sons of the Rahab as an example of the obedience that he desires, he wants to know that when we are faced with the bowl of wine, will we be obedient and call on the good wine? When you're faced with adversity, amen, when you're faced with that same temptation, amen, when you're faced with that same setback, amen, when you're faced with that same trickery, amen, when you're faced with the same deception, amen, don't drink and partake of the physical wine of that you go get from your grocer's freezer. Partake of the good wine, amen. You'll feel better in the morning. Because when you partake of the good wine that you bought from Kroger's, you're going to be sick in the morning, amen. Then you're going to have regrets and everything. But when you take your petitions to God, when you wake up in the morning, I bet you feel a little better. Amen. You don't feel no worse than what you felt before. Amen. When we turn things over in God's hand, he does that thing and holds that thing. He enhances that thing. And when he gives it back to us, amen, it's in a better state than when we originally gave it to him. Let's give God the praise today. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to Jesus. We don't have much time, but we'll do this. As you're going out, and I'm going to go first, and the pastor's going to dismiss this. As you're going out, walk this way. Because when people pass by Peter's shadow, they got healed. Amen. But walk past this way, past the table across where the good wine sits. Amen. And then take the good wine with you, amen. But as you come to this side right here, this is where you're going to lay down all your pain, all your issues, all your problems, all that stuff that, you know, you just can't shake on your own. All the, you know, what I said to my wife, what I said to my husband, that I know wasn't right. If you just, stuff you just can't take back, lay it at the table of God today, amen. Can we do that, Pastor? As you just walk in, I'll just walk past, and it takes 2 seconds. Oh, Lord, I leave my indiscretion here at the table, at the altar, and walk out with a glass of the good wine. Amen. Do it by faith.